The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, author and podcast host Tasha Calvert challenges your perceptions of holiness.
I think the biggest hurdle for most of us, honestly, is just wrapping our minds around the possibility that we could be holy. You know, we are in Christ. If we have surrendered our lives to Him, He has declared us as holy. And so it's really arrogant for us to say, no, I can't be that. I don't live up to that.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robson. Belinda, how are you today?
I'm really, really happy to be here.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
So there's this scripture in 1 Peter, and he's actually echoing, I think, Leviticus, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. But he's saying, you know, telling people that they should be holy as God is holy.
Yeah.
Right. And have you ever read that and thought, not a chance?
There's no way. I can't attain that at all.
Why would he tell us that? Especially if it wasn't possible. It makes me go, it's possible? I just don't know how or what it means.
In the Christian life, we can strive a lot, and yet the way we can be the holiest is when we're surrendered.
We better talk about this.
I know. I think we're going to, and you know what? We have a really awesome person who's going to help us talk about this, the Set Apart for More. Tasha Calvert, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you guys.
We're glad to have you. You know, Prestonwood Baptist, good friends of the ministry, Jack Graham, mm-hmm. and you're on staff over there full-time, is that
right?
I
am, yeah. Yes, wow. The women's minister there.
Wow. Yeah, you said backstage for almost a decade.
Yes.
That's
yes.
amazing.
That's that great. Is good.
I'm guessing this is a question that comes up a lot. Like, what does that really mean? What?
Yes.
Holiness.
Absolutely. And I hope it continues to come up a lot, because one thing I would say is I feel like it does not get the prominence it deserves. Like when we look at scripture, even the cover of your Bible usually says Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. We serve a holy God. We sing about holiness. And yet, when I would get in a room with a bunch of women and say, how many of you would describe a friend as holy? Everybody kind of looks around. And then if I were to take it a step further and say, how many of you would describe yourself as holy? I mean, that airspace was not being ventured into. Mm-hmm. And so I, like you, kind of did a deep dive in scripture and said, okay, why would God call us to something if He wasn't expecting that we could do this? And so, you know, as with most things that the Lord does, He took me through this book, the message of this book first, and kind of dealt with that in my own life. But I became so passionate about what it looks like to live surrendered to God and just how empowering and enlivening that is, that it just became kind of the drum that I beat for the women of our church, and now more broadly, just people that will read this book. So I'm really excited about it.
Isn't it so true in the Christian life? It feels like things are sometimes opposite. It's like when you surrender the most is when you live in the most freedom. And you would think that's opposite, to surrender
exactly.
something. But so when we're surrendering to Him to live this holy life, that's probably when so much in your life really became more free.
Oh, 100%. And it's so scary because I think we think we have way more control over our life and our sanctification than we actually do. And so surrender really is the key. I think the biggest hurdle for most of us, honestly, is just wrapping our minds around the possibility that we could be holy, mm-hmm. you know, because we attribute holiness to God. And that's right. He has declared us holy. If we are in Christ, if we have surrendered our lives to Him, He has declared us as holy. And so it's really arrogant for us to say, no, I can't be that. I don't live up to that. And so really, this book is kind of my own wrestling through, how do I embrace what God has called me to be? How do I agree with His scripture? And then what are some practical ways? Like, I don't want to live in the, you know, hypothetical. How practically do I join Him and allow Him to produce holiness in me? And so that's kind of what we talk about.
I'm guessing, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing that part of the reason you get the resistance to, you know, do you know someone who's holy or am I holy? Certainly not, is because we don't understand the term properly.
Right.
What would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions we have about the idea of holiness?
I think we're really big, even in Christian spaces, at looking at the things that God produces in us, and we see what comes out outward, and so we just try and mimic that. Mm-hmm. Like, a holy person never misses church. A holy person never says a bad word when they stump their toe. A holy person, you know, never has thoughts that are not holy. And really, that's the misunderstanding, because it keeps that onus on us. Mm. And there's part of us that's right to be reticent in embracing holiness, because guess what? We're sinners. Mm-hmm. Like, we are not going to drift towards holiness. So I think what we have to do is recognize that God is the one that is going to produce that holiness in us. And so I've kind of come up with a 4-part framework in the book, and I think that has really been helpful to me and others in trying to wrap our minds around what it might look like to embark on a journeyness of holiness. And so it's kind of 4-part, and it starts by saying that holiness is a sacred otherness that originates from God. And I think that's the part we're all most comfortable with. But then the second part is, it is empowered and entrusted to us by His Spirit. And that's the really important part for us as believers. Mm-hmm. We have been given a holy helper, and that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so holiness is possible for us because His Spirit lives in us. Mm-hmm. Now, that's good news for us as believers, but it's also kind of good news for people who don't know Jesus, because I can't expect somebody who does not
that's
know
right.
Jesus
yeah.
to be
act holy.
Holy.
Right, right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not possible. Now, I would hope that they would come to know Jesus, but this is for the believer. And then the third part is it manifests in our character. And I chose the word character because I think it was a big enough word to encompass really all of the ways that God transforms us. And that's such good news. Mm-hmm. Like, God isn't just going to pick and choose some things and give you one or two things. Like, when He comes in and produces holiness in us, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth part is that it is strengthened in Christian community. And I think that seems kind of obvious, but, you know, we're looking around at culture right now and realizing that people are more isolated than they've ever been. They're lonelier than they've ever been. They're more anxious than they've ever been. And so understanding that God designed us for more and that holiness is something that is going to be strengthened, buoyed when we are in relationship with other people. I think that is just such a beautiful gift, especially to the church in this cultural moment.
I think about, like, iron, it says iron sharpens iron, and we know that sin left in the dark, that's where shame is. So when you are in community and you can maybe help bring some of these struggles to the light, now the people around you are bringing you to a different level. So I can see how important that aspect of living holy is by also who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
So
earlier
you said something about practical things
yeah.
that we can do. Can you talk about some of the practical ways if somebody is watching and they're like, okay, I mean, I know it's not a set of to-dos. It's
right.
not a check-off list. It's not that. But what are some things, though, also that I could be kind of sharpening
yeah.
in my life?
Yeah. I kind of like to posture it as a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And we know how to cooperate because God's Word is kind of our rule book. Mm-hmm. But I have 4 daughters. Belinda, I was telling you about that. And Randy, you won't relate to this, but...
I have 2 daughters.
Okay, well, but did you give birth?
Pretty close to it.
Okay,
oh, I think your wife would...
I was going to say,
I'm sorry, she did that.
Wow, all right.
So when I would go into the hospital, I have 2 granddaughters too, and my daughters have been way more empowered, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do this by myself, I guess, bite down on leather or something. I don't know. I was the complete opposite.
Give me the drugs.
Yes. I went into the hospital and I would look at the nurse and say, okay, so nice to meet you, here to have the baby. Listen, totally ready to cooperate. So if you tell me to push, I'll push to the best of my ability. If you tell me to breathe, I will breathe to the best of my ability. Whatever it is that you think would be helpful, to the best of my ability, I will do it. But at the end of the day, it is your job to get this baby out. And that is really how I always thought about it. Like, I am here to cooperate, but I do not feel like I've got what it takes to
deliver
to do this thing.
The baby.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that really is kind of our posture with holiness.
That's
it's
good.
Looking at God every morning and saying, okay, I know you have a purpose for me. I know you have set me apart for something more than I can ask, dream, or imagine. And I am going to do my best to cooperate. But at the end of the day, if I do anything worthwhile, if any holiness is produced in me, it's because your spirit has enabled and enlivened that in me. And I think even just having that mindset as we go into the day is so helpful. So a spirit of cooperation is part
That's
one.
That's so good.
It is. And it's all the way through Scripture. If you start looking for it, you see that God, as my dad says, would use imperfect people to accomplish His perfect will. You know, and there are some times where God just did something, you know, with Paul on, you know, Saul to Paul kind of thing. But there was the cooperation aspect, I think, is huge. And when you look at what Jesus told people was believe in me, believe in me.
Yes.
So when you were talking a minute ago about how, yes, we're all sinners, we're not just going to drift towards holiness. At the same time, if we are born again, we have a new identity. We have a new heart. It's not as the Old Testament would describe as, you know, wicked and corrupt, because that's why we get a new one, right? That's the whole point. How much of just enabling the ability to step into holiness is believing what God says about us and our identity?
For us to fully embrace our identity as someone holy, we have to believe that God has the ability to bestow that upon us.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think of the Old Testament, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible is all to be, you know, all of it is useful for our instruction. But there are some differences. In the Old Testament, we kind of have this orientation where God's dealing with Israel as a community.
Right.
And so He shows up in different places, and it's very personal when He does. And I think of two places in particular where He's speaking to Joshua, and then one where He's speaking to Moses. And He shows up, one of them, you know, both of them are theophany of sorts, and a theophany, just for the listener out there, is just a physical manifestation of the presence of God. And so it can look different, but He shows up and He tells Moses and Joshua that they are standing on holy ground. Now, here's the cool thing about that. Minutes before, that holy ground was dirt. What makes it holy is its proximity to God. And so when we enter into relationship, we have to enter into the affirmation and belief that God can do with us because of who He is with us. And so, yeah, belief is certainly foundational to it. Absolutely.
There's these two things that exist at the same time, this belief and then this striving to be good and to be holy. And yet what I hear you saying that I think brings so much freedom to the viewer is this is where we camp out.
Right.
We cooperate, yes, but it's the Holy Spirit doing the work in us,
yes,
which is so beautiful.
Yes.
But you do talk about some secret weapons,
some holy habits. Yes.
And I think those are important because we still do have the role to play. We have the cooperation part. And sometimes for me, the cooperation part is, okay, I don't want to derail myself.
Right.
I don't want to get off course. I want to always have my heart malleable. So what are some of those secret weapon, holy habits?
So two foundations that I think are the best place to start. In fact, I call them building blocks within the book. And it's God's word and God's people. And so I think that's a really good place to start as we try and foster this spirit of cooperation with God. And God's word really is just that we need to be people who are listening for what God says from His word. You know, for years, I grew up in a pastor's home. I really have never veered far from my faith, from the church. But I will tell you, it took me an unusually long amount of time to really understand that I could hear from God's mm-hmm. word by myself.
For yourself, yes.
That I could sit in a chair all by myself with my Bible and my cup of coffee, and God could speak directly to me. For so many decades, I was so faithful, but I was listening to the pastor and the Bible teacher and the young marrieds minister and whomever else, dependent on them. God's word is the primary way that he speaks to us. Mm-hmm. So if you're wondering, I would love to cooperate. I don't know what God's telling me. My next question to you would be, what is your reading in God's word look like? Like, what does your time in God's word look like? That's going to be an easy place to start cooperating. And he will be so faithful, surprisingly faithful, to meet you on the pages of scripture. But I want to caution everybody, because we have to understand that God's word is a book about him. It will help us know him better. And if we keep that in mind, remembering that holiness is something he defines. Holiness is who he is. When we go to scripture, we get a better picture of who he is and what holiness looks like. And as we read scripture, it reads us and it helps us to look more like him.
Yeah. So what would you say sort of the personal payoff, if I can use that term, the fruit, you know, of saying, okay, God, I'm going to believe that even though I'm dirt, if I can get close to you, I can be holy ground, right?
Yes.
What has that done for you personally?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because I will tell you, part of what sparked this whole journey to write this is that having been a believer all of my life, having checked all the boxes, serving, going to church, doing all the things, I didn't feel like my faith was super effective. And, you know, at some point you want to do what's right, but you kind of start to think, why am I spending so much energy on something that really is not giving me the confidence, the peace, the fulfillment that I need? And so what it has done for me is totally transform who I am and how I live. And what that means is all those things that I knew were in there, that I knew I was supposed to be feeling, the peace of God that passes understanding, the love of God, despite anything that I might feel personal shame about, the power of God, that, you know, that same spirit that raised him from the dead that's in me, and yet I so often felt ineffective. When I began to transform myself, to put myself at his feet and listen to his word and let him move in me, those things became alive. Now, do I still have problems? 100%. Are there still things that rattle me? Yes. But there is such beauty in knowing that I can trust God, knowing that he has been faithful, knowing that he's not going to leave me or forsake me. And others see that. Mm-hmm. Others see that. And you know what? You see that in other people too.
It's true.
And so there's just something so beautiful about actually seeing the promises of God take root in your heart and transform you from the inside out.
No doubt. I love it. And, you know, we were talking about the first half of your title, Set Apart for More. But the for more, there's so much fun in the for.
Yes, in the more.
More. And that's beautiful. All right. So I would love for you watching right now to get the book, and you can get it where you get books, but we will send it to you. When you do a little more with us, scripture says we are set apart for good works. That's one of the part of the more, I believe. And we have some opportunities right now before us, specifically mission feeding. And this is the last week we'll be talking to you about this on the air, but this is an opportunity to be set apart and do something more. And that is to bless somebody in word and in deed with God's love. It will impact you, even as it impacts those who are in need. I think you'll see a little bit of that right now. Watch this and you'll understand.
This is a clinic for mothers whose children are suffering from the effects of malnutrition. Kira Pretorius daughter of Isaac Pretorius, is seeing for the first time Angolan children struggling to survive the consequences of not having enough food to keep them alive.
So you can see the other sons. I mean, you can see how his ribs are just sticking out. You see how, I mean, look how little his arms are. I mean, his arms are like the size of my thumb, you know?
And just skin, as I hear myself.
No, it's just skin and bone, really.
Because that's the state at which its nutrition is at. It's so weak and so malnourished that literally the body starts to shut down.
Do you think he'll recover?
Chances are that he will survive, that we will be able to save his life. But there are also many children in this state that don't leave clinics like this. He just did it. It's going to cry. It's okay.
I've grown up knowing many of these stories and seeing the photos and hearing the heart-wrenching stories of young mothers with their young children that want to do the best for them but genuinely just don't have the resources. Every time I see or hear these stories and being here today, it affects me and it deeply hurts my heart. So I'm asking you to not let it become normal to you. Don't let it become something you become immune to.
I ask you to hear that appeal from a 19-year-old girl who knows what happens if you look away. Who knows what happens when this starts to become normal. When we shut our hearts down, when we try to think through this with our heads instead of just listening to our hearts. And so I'm asking you today to listen to your heart. Listen to the heart of Kira. Listen to my heart. Listen to your heart. Because our heart's cry is the same as this mother's, and I believe yours is too. And that is to do everything that we can do to save this little boy. Everything that we can do to give this mother what she needs for her child.
You know, Belinda, it is an interesting thing about that story because it's tender. Mm-hmm. But when I was with Kira out in the field and with Isaac, Kira grew up seeing Isaac travel and go to these countries. But when she saw for herself with her own eyes the children, the mothers, it's different when you're there because you really do get it.
You could see it in her eyes.
You could see it. You could see
the pain. She really felt the pain of it. I'm one of those people that sometimes maybe would look away because it's so painful to look. And maybe if I didn't really sit in it, maybe it wasn't really happening. Mm. And I just want to encourage someone out there who maybe even had the feeling to turn the channel, because it's painful to see. And I want to encourage you, sit in it for a minute. Sit in it and really think and pray and look at what's happening with these children and with these families and in these villages, because it's real. It's happening right this minute as we're watching. It's happening right now. And instead of turning away or making it feel like it's not really existing or even making it become normal, that would be even worse. Sit in it and ask the Lord, how can I help?
Yeah. And I've had people say to me, look, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you go to those places where literally we have buried children the day of working in a clinic or in some of these villages. I've seen children's funerals, and it's hard, it's horrible, it's terrible, it's tragic. To me, it feels unjust. We are the solution. And when I say we, I don't mean just those of us on television and those of us in the field like Isaac and Kira. I mean you and I. This only happens. It only started because viewers like you responded to my parents decades ago. Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can? We can do this. It's the last week you'll see this on the air during this campaign. $30 will help feed three children for the next several months. And I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen it. It works. It helps pull them out of death, out of poverty, out of that cycle. People see and feel God's love and lives are saved. Will you go online, go to the phone? Make the best gift you can. We can do this.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves critically depleted and many areas experiencing devastating famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us every single day. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to a prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Father's Heart Devotional. Drawing from Scripture and his past, James Robison takes you on a 90-day journey to help you experience a deeper, more personal relationship with God as your loving Father. With your gift of $100 or more, you will receive the Father's Heart Bundle. This stationery set, paired with the devotional, is a thoughtfully designed collection created to help you share encouragement, prayer, and the love of our Heavenly Father with those you care about. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children in desperate need, request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, the Good Shepherd. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
We do need to hear from you now. Let's do this. We can continue feeding those kids, and I'm telling you, it's a blessing for them as well as for those of us who are part of it. So pick up the phone, go online, make the best gift you can. And don't forget, today, if you request Tasha Calvert's book, we'd love to send it. I know it's going to bless people.
You have such an amazing way of presenting really complex things that can be like holiness into something really practical.
Yeah,
so I love that. And I know people would want to hear more from you. Where can they hear more from you?
Oh, that's so kind. Well, obviously, I serve my local church, and we make our studies available through Right Now Media or Prestonwood Women. So we would invite anybody to check that out. I have a podcast where I talk with people just about how to take what we're learning in Scripture and how to live that out on the daily. And it's called Digging In with Tasha Calvert. And so you can listen to that wherever you listen to your podcast. And then, of course, TashaCalvert.com is where kind of I'm home.
Amazing. So thank you, Tasha, so much for being with us. We've so enjoyed it. And thank you for being with us today, too. We can't wait to have you back with us. See you soon.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Dr. David Jeremiah pulls back the curtain, revealing the mysteries of heaven by answering some of the most popular questions. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.